Hello and welcome in Jesus' name. My name is John Kester. You are listening to a recorded sermon of the Spirit of Hosea Fellowship. I pray that you will be blessed and encouraged as we share the Word of God together. This fellowship is an outreach of Theological Foundations Ministries. We invite you to visit our website at www.theologicalfoundations.com. and www.marriagedivorce.com. There you will find a wealth of messages, material, and online teachings, and books which you can download, copy, and burn to a CD, and distribute to your friends, family, freely without charge or obligation. To partner with us, please go to www.theologicalfoundations.com and click on the links for How Can I Help? Now, let's get out our Bibles as we follow along with today's message. Here is the chaplain of the Spirit of Hosea Fellowship, Stephen Wilcox.
Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, this morning, Lord, I ask you for wisdom and understanding. I need your help, Lord. I need you to put your words in my mouth so that I will speak this justly and evenly, Lord, without any kind of prejudice, and Lord, that I will do it absolutely as you would have me to say it. Please guard my mind and guard my heart. Please open the eyes, Lord, and quicken those minds of those that are listening to this. May we all understand your word to us this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please turn with me to today's text. It is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 13 and 14. Now, while you're looking that up, I'll tell you that everything that I'm going to be reading today is going to be from the New American Standard. Please feel free to use whichever version that you wish. 1 Corinthians 16, 13 to 14, here we go. Quote, "Be on the alert. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men." This is not sexist. This is not anti-woman. It means not like children. Act like men. Be strong. Let all that you do be done in love." Unquote. This message is part four of a series of messages called Please Help Me on matters concerning the very heart of marriage and divorce issues. The first in the series was called Biblical Foundations, in which was laid God's principles that he had given in the scriptures that govern, control, and judge God's institution, holy matrimony, in the hearts of men and women. The second message is called Serious Trouble, in which we explored God's overriding commands and instructions on how to avoid serious trouble, or if it is too late for that, what are his instructions. Here we heard exactly what the scriptures instruct for each husband and for every wife, every time, always, regardless of how the difficulty came to be, or who started it, or who is to blame. It is guaranteed to work to restore love and peace and harmony to the heart and the soul of each husband that applies the cure, and to every wife that follows the Lord's instructions to the letter. That is Please Help Me Part 2, Serious Trouble. In Please Help Me Part 3, called Disaster Strike, which the title portrays, takes us into the very heart-wrenching horror of the breakup of a home, where one or both the husband and the wife have decided and have already announced or acted out the intention of breaking up the marriage, of leaving the home. Perhaps there is a third party involved. Perhaps there isn't a third party involved yet. We saw how God provided a special place of protection and support within his holy word for all of those that are willing to handle the crisis as he instructs. Here we find the strength to resist what comes to all of us naturally by understanding the depths of God's provisions, by living out faithfulness and forgiveness. In some ways, it is the opportunity of a lifetime to allow God to light your candlestick with a brilliant incandescent flame that shines eternal truth into all of the darkness that you have known all of your life. It is so bright that it both repels those that hate the truth, and they will run from you and hide from it, and it'll attract all whosoever will. It is God's will that you, in these circumstances, live according to his will, and there is no other permissive will of God. That's part three, called Disaster Strike. This is part four, Please Help Me, Standing Firm. Please turn with me to a single verse in Jeremiah, and that is Jeremiah 6, verse 16. While you're looking that up, I'll go ahead. Quote, "Thus says the Lord, stand by the ways and see and ask for the ancient path, where the good way is, and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. But they say, we will not walk in it." Unquote. Stand by the ways, Jeremiah proclaims, ask for the ancient paths, he commands in the name of the Lord, because there, on these ancient paths, is the God-given foundational truth that you will find that will undergird you, that will protect you as you walk in them. In part one, we laid out the biblical foundations that underwrite God's institution of marriage, the ancient paths. There are six principles that flow out of scriptures that clearly point out God's walkway. They are, one, according to the scriptures, all homosexual relationships are forbidden by God. Homosexual marriages or any union of a woman to a woman or a man to a man is an abomination in the eyes of God and must be repented of and must be forsaken. Two, according to the scriptures, marriage is an institution designed and administered by God for a lifelong union in holy matrimony of one man and one woman for life. Number three, according to the scriptures, God hates divorce and never, ever sanctions it for covenant marriages. A covenant marriage is a union where God has joined a man who does not have another living pre-existent wife to a woman that does not have another living pre-existent husband into what the Bible calls a one-flesh relationship. Number four, according to the scriptures, a husband or a wife are not to separate from or to divorce their spouse, but if they are, whether voluntarily or involuntarily for any reason, they must remain single and celibate as long as they both live or else be reconciled. Number five, according to the scriptures, a marriage may be violated but not invalidated by adultery committed by either the husband or the wife or both. And finally, number six, according to the scriptures, any marriage entered into by any man or any marriage entered into by any woman who has a living pre-existent husband or wife is not a one-flesh covenant marriage that is written in the scriptures, recognized by God, and it is considered to be the sin of adultery by Jesus Christ himself and his apostles and the word of God and the early church and must be repented of and forsaken, unquote. Many, even most, will protest and cry, "We will not walk in it." That is why almost all of the self-proclaimed Bible-believing evangelical born-again Christian church either leads the way in practicing, endorsing, and licensing and whitewashing divorce and remarriage within its own bosom. We are famous for it. The leaders and the followers alike wallow in the sin of serial adultery without shame, in open defiance of the word of God. It seems little has changed over the thousands of years since Jeremiah's time. What once was is back with a vengeance. Please turn to Jeremiah chapter 7, and we're going to read verses 2 to 11. And I think I need to insert few words that paint the relevancy of where we are at today. Jeremiah 7, 2 to 11, quote, "Stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim there his word and say, hear the word of the Lord, all of Judah, who enter by these gates to worship the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your deeds, and I will let you dwell in this place. Do not trust in deceptive words, saying, this is the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. For if you truly amend your ways and your deeds, if you truly practice justice between a man and his neighbor, if you do not oppress the alien, the orphan, or the widow, and you do not shed innocent blood in this place, or walk after other gods to your own ruin, then I will let you dwell in this place, in the land that I gave your fathers forever and ever. Behold, you are trusting in deceptive words to no avail. Will you steal, murder, and commit adultery, and swear falsely, and offer sacrifices to Baal, and walk after other gods that you have not known? Then come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered, that you may do all of these abominations? Has this house, which is called by my name, become a den of robbers in your sight? Behold, I, even I, have seen it, declares the Lord." Unquote. So it isn't up to your church to help you to stand, or your family, or your friends. It is up to God and God alone. No one, not me, not those here, not a creed or ethic or moral strength or integrity or strong character or willpower will do it. In fact, if you rely and lean on any of these things too hard, you will not stand, but you will fall, and whoever you leaned on, you'll take them with you. You stand, You stand because of His grace and His power, and in that alone, and He will give you the power to do it. Please turn to Romans chapter 5. We're going to read 3 verses, 1 to 3. That's Romans 5, 1 to 3. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exalt in hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but we also exalt in our tribulations, knowing that tribulations brings about perseverance. Unquote. When we stand for the restoration of our marriage, and we exult in the hope of the glory of the Lord, there is no room left within us for destructive attitudes and selfish behaviors. Chasing after your husband or chasing after your wife. By the way, when they see you chasing them, they'll run all the harder away from you. You are not to knock Jesus off of His throne and put your lost love of your life on it, or worship Him or her, or even to worship your marriage or the covenant that you have with Him or her. Because if you worship it, if you idolize it, if that is the reasons for your motives of your righteousness, then it is all and will be all and will prove to be entirely in vain. No, instead, love your husband or love your departed wife and remain faithful to the marriage covenant. Stop your chasing. Run towards God. Don't run towards them. Don't look sideways at your husband or wife while pursuing the Lord. That is a great way to stumble and to fall and to get hurt. Keep your eyes on God. He will keep you in perfect peace if your mind is stayed on Him. If you follow the worldly crowd in their relationship trials and tribulations, or the common Christian heresy of going to church and picking yourself out another one, you will fall. And in that fall, you might be broken and never be able to get the pieces picked back up. It is a dangerous thing to hear the word of the Lord and to purposely and intentionally turn away or aside. Please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 11 to 13. In fact, this is perhaps the most important, particularly verse 12, and we'll point it out when we get to it. Verse 11, now these things happened to them as an example, and they were written for our instruction, upon whom the ends of the ages has come. Verse 12, therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed that he does not fall. No temptation is overtaking you, but that is common to man, and God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, and with that temptation will provide the way of escape so that you will be able to endure it. Unquote. The real trial in standing for the restoration of your marriage does not involve your loneliness. It does not involve your sexual desires. It does not even involve your pain or your sorrow or your rejection. That's not the real test. Instead, we are fighting powerful, invisible, and dominant evil and spiritual forces that are out to destroy you. And if you are obedient to God in this area of your life, He is out to destroy everything that you stand for, and to wipe you from the face of the conscious earth and leave no record whatsoever of your obedience. That is what these forces are after. It is quite literally the war of the world, and you are right in the middle of it. Please turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 12 to 14. I'll go ahead. 12. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. 13. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, listen carefully, having done everything, to stand firm, unquote. So stand firm then. Get your eyes off of yourself. Get your eyes off of your broken heart. Get your eyes off of your lost love. Get your eyes off of restoration of what was and what is now lost. Pray for your loved ones with all of your heart. Love them from afar. Don't move on. Don't get somebody else. Don't disobey the word of God. Don't enter a fornicating or an adulterous relationship. Don't move on. Don't do it. It doesn't matter how many others do it. It doesn't matter who tells you to do it. They are on the broad road to destruction. Don't go along with them. You are to remain chaste and single and standing for the restoration of your marriage as long as you live, or until your marriage is restored or not. Instead of moving on, move up with God. Get close, real close to Him. He will not let you fall or fail if you are walking with Him on those ancient paths. That is what He promises in Timothy. Let's go to that. Timothy 2, one single verse, verse 19. Quote, "Nevertheless, the firm foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows who are his, and everyone who names the name of the Lord is to abstain from wickedness." Unquote. You may only have to stand a short while, Lord willing. You may have your marriage restored sooner and easier rather than later and in great difficulty and trial. You may have to stand for a very long time, but regardless of the time it took, perhaps it will finally happen. Perhaps your marriage will be restored late in life. However, you may die in the Lord, having stood firm until the end, without there being any visible manifestation of the restoration. God will not override. Don't be mistaken in this. There's a false gospel out there, but there's something that must be understood. God will not override the determined willpower of any man or any woman to refuse to be saved from a fate worse than death. The right to die spiritually and to die in their sins. That is every man and woman's right. And God will not take it away from them. But he will, because of your prayers and because of your faithfulness, provide every opportunity and every incentive to do otherwise. But there's another way. Even still, many families are reconciled at the deathbed of a faithful saint, or at the funeral home, or when grieving the loss of a godly standing woman or man. But that is the subject of next week's message. In part 5, please help me, restoration or redemption. But for today, I would like to finish off with a section of scripture which I think is ideally suited to this entire situation. It is an overview of what God would have us to know and to understand and to follow as we walk on these ancient godly paths. It's in Jude chapter 1, verses 17 to 25. "But you, beloved, ought to remember the words that were spoken beforehand by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, that they were saying to you, in the last time there will be mockers, followers after their own ungodly lusts. They are the ones who cause divisions, worldly minded, devoid of the Spirit. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your own most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. And have mercy on some who are doubting. Save others, snatching them out of the fire. And on some have mercy with fear, hating even the garment that is polluted by the flesh." Now, "to him who is able to keep you from stumbling, brothers and sisters, and to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless with great joy, to the only God our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory and majesty and dominion and authority before all time, now and forever. Amen." Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Help us to obey it. Help us to live it. In Jesus' name.
We pray that you've been blessed and encouraged by the Word of God today, shared by our fellowship. We invite you to visit www.theologicalfoundations.com and www.marriagedivorce.com to listen to other Spirit of Hosea sermons and to have free access to a wealth of teaching and materials from various pastors, teachers, and authors in the body of Christ. This ministry is maintained entirely by your ongoing prayers and generous financial support. We thank you for listening and trust that you will draw closer to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is John Kester saying goodbye for now, and may God bless you.